Different states have different approaches to teaching, incentivizing, coaching, or even forcing residents to change their habits. What works? TV commercials? Outrageously expensive water bills? The source's Ross Chambliss has this story about Utah's efforts to slow the flow.
If you watch television and you live in Utah, you've probably seen these advertisements.
This is two nights in a row.
I need you.
You think you need me?
I have brown spots.
So you're turning me on again?
It doesn't work.
No, it only makes your lawn's roots shallow.
Oh, water. I've been such a fool.
Don't cry. It's wasteful.
Or maybe you've seen this one.
Sometimes it seems like we have plenty of water. But in reality, Utah is the second driest state in America. Drier than New Mexico. Drier than Arizona.
Or perhaps this one.
Each year, Utah is blessed with water. But each year, our population continues to grow. We all need to conserve to make sure there's enough to go around.
You get the idea. These ads target those homeowners who fancy the opulent green lawns. About 15 years ago, the Utah Division of Water Resources, along with an assembly of the state's largest water conservancy districts, launched their Slow the Flow ad campaign. Its messages, you could say, have been evolving.
We're sort of learning along the way.
This is Eric Klotz.
I'm with the Utah Division of Water Resources, and I'm the Water Conservation and Education Section Manager.
Back in 2001, Utah was experiencing a major drought, and then Governor Mike Leavitt called together the state's top water gurus, wanting to know what they were doing to encourage water conservation. Klotz says they pulled together their numbers on how municipal water gets used.
And one of the major things that we had discovered, I guess, with that data is that 3/4 of our water use, our municipal water use, goes to the residential category, to our homes, and 2/3 of that water is used outside.
Klotz says they then hired some media consultants, R&R Partners based in Las Vegas, who helped them to target the campaign.
And it was basically single family homes, residential, outdoor.
These neighbors both have beautiful yards. Yet one waters half as much as the other.
At this time, the division also set a goal for statewide water conservation. And in retrospect, they set the bar pretty low. Cut 25% of statewide per capita use by the year 2060. In just 10 years, they reached 18%.
Now, to say that Slow the Flow is responsible for that, probably not.
Probably not, because trends like xeriscaping and more efficient irrigation practices saw a big push during the 2000s. A few years ago, Governor Herbert pulled the goal up to 2025. Also, around this time, Klotz says the state identified a new sub-target group for their media campaign.
And that was males age 18 to 44 years old who, according to the surveys and the focus groups, were not getting the message on water conservation, and I'll go so far as to say could care less about it, and yet we found they are, for the most part, in charge at their homes with the controllers, the sprinkler controllers. So they're doing the watering, and they don't care about conservation.
So since then, Klotz says many of the Slow the Flow ads go after the men of the household. Interestingly, before long, Slow the Flow found a new partner.
Hi, I'm Craig Martin, general manager of Rio Tinto Stadium. And this is Dan Farns, our lawn guru, also known as the Grass Whisperer. To make your lawn feel as beautiful and special as a pitch here at Rio Tinto, first, don't overwater. If
you see, so when Real came to us, it was like almost like a no-brainer that their demographics is like almost perfect for us. And not only their demographics, but their season. Because we're talking, remember I mentioned that we're kind of emphasizing outdoor watering. Mm-hmm. Their season runs right during the irrigation
season. Through the
season.
Summer, through the hot months.
So with a new target on educating the guys, the division last year found that residents watered less often compared to 2010 numbers. Per capita, people also ran their tap or shower for less time, and more people reported watering their yards only at certain times, like avoiding the middle of the day.
Also, 65% turned off. This was key. 65% indicated in 2014 survey that they turned off the water after it rained, versus 10% in 2010. And in a year like this year, where these spring rains have been wonderful, that's a positive sign, and we hope more and more people do that.
Still, one might take the Division of Water Resources numbers with a grain of salt. A legislative audit released in May this year found that the agency was relying on flawed data. The report challenged their forecast that Utah will be running out of water in coming decades. The agency has been saying that Utahns, even with conservation measures, will need to pay $33 billion in coming years for upgrades to infrastructure, maintenance, and new water projects for a growing population. Meanwhile, Utahns still rank among the highest per capita water users in the West.
Getting good water conservation results can't solely be done in an advertising campaign.
Zach Frankel with Utah Rivers Council is a longtime critic of the state's conservation efforts.
And so for nearly 15 years, that's all the state of Utah has been doing to conserve water, while it simultaneously has great reservations about saving water.
If you've heard Frankel talk before, he likes to remind Utah residents how exactly we pay for water. We pay not only through our city water bills, but also through property taxes, which he says amounts to a hidden subsidy for water providers. It also means that the people who hose down their driveways or who let their sprinklers run in the middle of a downpour, they don't feel a financial pinch.
You know, in Las Vegas, there are water cops that cruise around and give citations by following the water in the gutter upstream until they find out who is watering concrete. Mm. They will fine you for that. Here in Utah, it just warrants a shrug because it happens on street after street after street. And all that we get out of the state is lip service.
Frankel advocates for more steeply tiered water rate structures. The idea is that people learn the value of water by how much they're charged for it. And different Utah cities sell water to customers using very different rate structures. If you live in Park City, for example, your water bill tells you, hey, this water is limited. Be very careful how you use it. But if you live in, say, Orem City, your water bill says, you know, don't worry about it. Wasting water, not such a big deal.
What we need are smarter tiers with our water rates. We don't need to be draconian in our water rates to educate people to use less. What we're really trying to do is discourage very high-end water waste. So we're not trying to go after every single homeowner and gouge them. What we're trying to do is to get people to not use 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 gallons. We're not trying to discourage people from using 5, 10, or 15,000 gallons of water. We're trying to say, stop watering your sidewalk and your driveway. Use a broom, not a hose.
There are active conversations specifically about that.
This is Joshua Palmer.
I'm with the Utah Division of Water Resources, and I'm the Public Information Officer.
Palmer says the agency does encourage pricing structures to promote conservation.
Sometimes it's not as simple as just going from, okay, well, we do it this way, and now we're going to do it this other way. And so we want to be methodical, and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. We don't think anything is off of the table when it comes to talking about helping Utahns make the right decisions when it comes to conserving. We just all have to do better.
In truth, raising a fee or a tax is generally never popular, especially in conservative places like Utah. Politics tends to get in the way. Still, the state is trying to do more than just some funny ads about saving water. Josh Palmer says they've been pushing a weekly lawn watering guide through social media.
We estimate that if people would just follow the lawn watering guide between April and October every year, that we would save 24 billion gallons of water. That's pretty significant. So, we're trying to give people tools that can really make those decisions for them. And can make sure that their landscapes are healthy, but they're also water-wise. And so a lot of it is just helping people understand how much of an impact those simple decisions make.
Be that as it may, people sometimes need more than just information to change behavior.
Direct contact with the public is very important.
Joanna Enderwada researches water management and conservation at Utah State University. She says they find people tend to overwater because maintaining an irrigation system can be complicated and cumbersome.
So one element of the flow of the flow that's a very actionable element is the water check program that's conducted through USU Extension. And that is a program where people can sign up for a free water check, and water checkers go to their property and check their irrigation systems and their landscape characteristics and give them a very specific set of recommendations on how they can conserve water in their particular yard.
So-called social norming strategies can also help. That's where cities show homeowners and businesses in their water bills how their water use compares with their neighbors. Studies show people often want to behave how their neighbors behave. And if you show people that their neighbors are doing better, maybe conserving water better, a homeowner may likely change to be less wasteful. Enderwada says conservation campaigns should come with a variety of approaches.
Because different ones work for different people, and I think that that is the reason, from a scientific point of view, it has been hard to disentangle which one is most effective.
As I said in the beginning, the state's conservation campaign is evolving. During our interview, Josh Palmer, who works with Eric Klotz on the Slow the Flow campaign, tried to explain.
We're also interested in community-based pushes. So, for example, Eric was driving into work a few months ago, and he pulled me in, and he said, you know, Josh, we've got to do something about some businesses who are just ignoring that it recently rained and that are watering anyway. You know, you could tell in his eyes, he's a pretty calm person, but there's a little bit of fire in him that day. And so what we did is we said, okay, how do we change behavior? How do we really make a difference? And so we created a really simple campaign called Waterwise Businesses Get My Business. And we put it out on social media, and we boosted it. We tried to get it out there as much as we could. So we advertised it on social media, got a lot of likes, a lot of shares, and so it starts putting that pressure. But we wanted it to be that positive pressure, right? Of people saying, "I'm going to support the businesses who make good decisions when it comes to water."
Palmer says they also reached out to chambers of commerce and asked them to give conservation tips to local businesses. They tried framing the issue around economic self-interest, that conserving water is good for the financial bottom line, and that customers prefer businesses that pay attention to smart water use. Whether any of these approaches are truly going to be effective, well, it's too early to tell.
But when we see people engaging in these things, when we see people sharing it with their friends, then we know that it's starting a conversation. And I think that's where conservation starts. It starts with a conversation.
For The Source, I'm Ross Chambliss.